yet I'm going to tell you the truth that was asked. What are you going to share about? I'm just going to speak the truth. I've spoke a couple times before where I had it all planned out and had it lined out about where I was at, how I got here, and what I'm doing now with my recovery. And I'm not doing that tonight because it sounded like a fool when I was doing it, in my opinion. So I'm just going to share from my heart. You know, there was a meeting before the meeting here today. And I hope you were also found your meeting before the meeting. Because God works in mysterious ways. Okay? God will work in mysterious ways. He does in my life. Okay? I want to share with everybody that, you know, God, you know, there's a God. I have a God. Okay? It tells us to find a higher power. Something greater than ourselves. Okay? And that's what the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous tells us how we're going to be able to achieve this. Okay? I have a God in you don't have to use my God. Okay? You're welcome to. You don't have to use my God. And I'm going to speak of God because God is very powerful. God is here in this room. Right here, right now. My God is. Okay? Because I was asked to share. Okay? And so I'm going to share my experience, my strength, and my hope with you. And I hope it reaches somebody. Okay? I hope somebody walks out of this room tonight with a new leaf on life, you know, just a new way to go forward in their life. They don't have to drink and use drugs anymore, or they don't have to drink and abuse their spouse anymore, or they don't have to drink and abuse themselves anymore, okay? Or they don't have to turn back to that drink because they're being abused, you know? Or they think that that's the way out. The softer way is to find themselves into a bottle. Okay? Congratulations. 40 years. That's awesome. And we had a couple. Do we have a newcomer? Who is there? We got one. And Travis? Right on. You know what, you guys? Man, you were what... They say it's the most important person in the room. Okay? To everybody, but really, I mean, it is okay. But let me share something with you. When I come to a meeting, I'm coming here to carry the message of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I come to a lot of meetings still, not as many as Jamar, but I come to a lot of meetings, okay. But really, the most important person is me, okay, because if I don't take care of me, if I don't carry the message to myself when I first wake up in the morning. What message am I carrying to you? I'm not doing it. I'm coming and showing up for coffee and bullshit, you know. But I want to carry the message of what I've learned here. My sponsor took the time to teach me, to walk me through the 12 steps, and Leo took the time to walk me through the 12 traditions. Okay, and God bless those guys. Okay. God is blessing them because they're both sober, you know, and I'm able to stay sober, okay? Because I'm showing up and I'm doing the deal. I don't come here every day, like I said. I don't come to meetings as many meetings as Jamar, but I do come here. I have a regular seat that I like to sit in. It is not my seat. It's my preferred seating. It always has been. You know, I've been here for a couple of days. I've been seeing a lot of changes in this fellowship. And the 1600 Club here is not the fellowship, so we know. Okay, the 1600 Club is a club that rents space to the fellowships. Okay, the fellowship that we're in here right now tonight is the Santa Maria Valley group. Okay, and that is my home group. It's the morning meetings. It's not just one meeting. It's the morning group of meeting goers. Jim's a part of it. That's the only person here that's really, I think, is a part of that morning meeting. God damn it, I forgot your name. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jason. Thank you. Jason is a part of it. And you know, there's a group of people that come here, and the morning means the 8 a.m. then the 8:30 on Sunday. That is my home group. Okay, then some people argue, oh, it's got to be one meeting. No, it's that morning meeting. It's what I say it is to me. Mm-hmm. You know, because it's my recovery. Okay, but that's how this is working for me. That's how I'm staying sober, and I am. I'm 100% sober today. Okay, nothing that I take affects me from my neck up. Nothing. Now I take. Doctor prescribes me, I'm taking a handful in the morning, a handful of pills at night. Because I've abused my body and I've broken some things. You know what I mean? This is how I stay alive and not be sick. But it's nothing that's affecting me. Nothing. Zero that's affecting me from my neck up. Okay? And I say that because it's part of my story, okay? Because I was in recovery before in another fellowship for 9 years. And I was going and I was doing a lot of the stuff that I'm doing today. I was involved in the administrative part of it. I was going to a lot of meetings. I was doing a lot of fellowship, okay? And I did the 12 steps. We did through a workbook, you know, and it took me 90 days. And it was kind of, I didn't get it. I thought I got it. I thought I had it. I thought I was, had recovery. Okay, but it was just, I didn't. It worked for some people. It didn't work for me. Okay, because it was 9 years, and I found a girl in the church, and we were in love, and We were going to church every Sunday and Wednesday, and she was in the choir and I was on the soundboard and you know that whole deal, and she, you know, mother to my daughter, that was from another wife, and I was told that I could have a little wine. I'm 9 years. You know, and some change. Clean. Yeah, we said it in that fellowship. I was clean. Okay? 9 years and some change. But I could have a little wine. It's okay because I was a new creation. All right? So I thought I would have a little wine. It didn't work for any time at all. As I shared with the guy this morning, it was like the frog in the pot, and you put a frog in a bucket, a pan of water, cold water, and the frog's fine for a while, right? And turn a little heat, and it was okay for a little while. But then it took 10 years, but they cranked the fire up all the way, and the pot boiled over, okay? And the frog was killed, the frog being me. That was horrific. Okay, I found myself in the hot tub after 10 years of having just a little wine. You know, ODing on cocaine, and found myself at Peter's Gate. I did it on purpose, but I found myself at Peter's Gate. Crying, okay, saying, please tell my family that I'm sorry, that I just killed myself. And Peter was in it, had a book, and said, no, tell him yourself. I woke up under the canopy in the hot tub. And just we had a moment that scares me to this day. Got out, called my ex-wife, and she was not ex yet, but she had left me because I had lost everything. But she came over and we tried to get me right, but I wouldn't even get right then. Okay. That was the result of not going to meetings. Okay? I don't know if it was clear there. I started going to church. And there's nothing wrong with going to church. But I forgot about Alcoholics Anonymous, or the other program as it was. I turned my back on that. I turned my back on my recovery. And I went in a direction that failed me. Okay? Not that God's going to fail you. Not that God's going to fail me. But I know in my heart of hearts, God has me here today, okay, to share with you the hope that I've found in Alcoholics Anonymous. And that's where we're at. Okay, that's where I'm sharing from a podium of Alcoholics Anonymous. Okay, not another fellowship, not in the church, not on the street corner, not in my living room. I was just sharing with somebody about an experience with my God in my living room, okay, where I'm drinking and using during the same period of time that I was talking about, where it had led me to, and I'm hearing from God. God's telling me that you need to stop the drinking and using. I can't be here for you. I'm not going to leave you, but I can't bless your life and save you in all this worldly stuff. I can't, you know, it wasn't, you know, I'm my name is written in the book of life. Okay, so that's secured. There's never a question about that. But I'm talking about, I need God's blessing in my life here on earth. Okay, I need his hedge of protection around me every day. Every day. Okay, and I asked for it. But I needed it in that moment right there. As I'm, you know, I don't know if it was meth or coke that I was using, because I was doing both at the time, mixing them and alcohol. And he told me that I can't have that in my life. If I want his blessings, I have to get rid of the alcohol. And I don't know where it's at in the Bible. And I couldn't go there today if you asked me to. And I didn't know then. But I went and grabbed my Bible and I opened it up. And right then, and it went right to, do not be drunk with alcohol. Do not be a drunkard. And I was throttled that it came to me that way. Just throttled. And I got to come in here into this room. You know, I was court ordered because I got a DUI in 2017. I got a DUI. My wife left me. First, my wife left me because of my drinking. Back before my daughter left with my grandson at the time, because of my drinking. Then my wife left. Then my father died. I get a DUI. And my best friend's daughter's murdered. This is all like in a matter of like weeks. And my life was, talk about upside down. Okay? Completely upside down. And I didn't think there was a way out. That's why I was killing myself. I thought that was my way out of all this. Because I had burned everything to the ground. Okay, and I had failed in life. I wasn't being prosperous. I wasn't caring for people. People had to care for me just to keep me alive. You know? When I was 10 years old, is when I went, remember my first drunk. Okay? On the side of my parents' house, my brother was having a high school party with a kegger, okay, and I was drinking at 10 years old. Now, I hadn't drank before then, but this is the first time I remember being drunk. Passed out on the side of the house, hanging on to the gas meter, and my parents come home from the drive-in movie theater. They went to the Park Air movie theater, and they come home, and I have a big rager at the house, and the 10-year-old little brother is passed out hanging onto the gas meter. And I'm just a little guy, you know? And my dad just tells my brother, get him to his room. And I can remember that, you know? That's my first drunk. I remember my last drink. It was at the VFW. A lady named Linda, she's passed away last year. I would like to say it was all this, you know, expensive just scotch, because I was a scotch drinker, but it was a shot of Jack Daniels at the bar at the VFW. That was my very last drink. And I was just sharing before the meeting about my last use. How do I get rid of that? I had a bag of dope and pipe, and the guy who was, you know, hanging out, we were getting high together. He come over to get high, and I said, no, man, you know, because I wasn't throwing dope away, but here's the dope, here's the pipe, and shut the door on him. Don't come back. That was after 69 days of coming into alcoholics, coming into this room, out of court ordered. Going into that corner right there, couldn't even get up and get my own cup of coffee. Okay, I mean, I was shaking, sick, dope sick, but I was getting my court card signed, and I knew I could get away with signing myself or just have somebody, neighbor sign it, whatever, but I didn't. God was pushing me. Come on, man, come on, get in there, get sober. Okay, so I was in here getting sober, but I wasn't sober. You know, I mean, I would shoot up and then show up, you know? But then I got it. That day I handed that guy that pipe and that bag of dope, that was the last that I had of anything, because I had stopped drinking already, like a couple days before that. I had my last shot of Jack Daniels. And then that, and I came in here, and there was three tables over here, and then it was dirty in here. Freaking chandeliers were falling from the roof. The roof was falling in. The windows were all busted up. There was homeless people living in the foyer, out in the patio area. Yeah, I wasn't impressed by the facility. But I came in here, and I got sober. You know, my first day sober, there was some lady that likes to sit right here in the middle, and I don't hate a lot of people in this world, but let's just say that there's not everyone in here is kind and loving, okay? And I was one day sober, and somebody told me after the meeting, grabbed me, you need to humble yourself. Man, I'm literally thinking to myself, I'm one day sober. This is my first day, and you're busting my balls. Come on, man, I've been coming in here for, you know, I didn't know how long then, but I knew it was 69 days now because I had my court card, so they can tell the day of the first day I came and the day I got sober, which is January 7th, 2018. It was my first day sober. It was January 6th is when I handed that guy the pipe, okay? And then the next day, that was my first day sober, okay? So I know how many days I was coming in here. Glenn was here, Jim was here. Victor was here. I think Travis might even have been here. I don't recognize the rest of y'all. Jason might have been here. No, okay. But there were people here that are still here today, still here carrying the message of Alcoholics Anonymous, okay? Who have been a part of. Glenn is a part of my recovery. Victor is a part of my recovery. Jim R. Travis, these people are a part of my recovery. Okay? If with them not here carrying the message the way they have, who knows? But if I would have been able to stay sober this eight years and some change, right? Who knows if I have been able to? I don't know that. Okay? I would like to think that it's not them, because I was just sharing with somebody who was, I don't know, not putting me on a pedestal, but looking up to me, is the way it was referred to. And I had to, don't look up to me, because I'm going to disappoint you. Okay? At some point in my life, I'm going to be a disappointment to you. Okay? This is almost a give me. Okay? But there is one person, it's not a person, it's a God, of my understanding, that has never disappointed me or anybody that I've ever known. Okay? Your higher power doesn't have to be that God, okay, to get what is Alcoholics Anonymous. Okay? We read a lot in the morning meetings here. Not as much as some meetings, because some meetings are book studies. But we try to read it from our literature to focus on what is Alcoholics Anonymous and not just carry the message of whatever's going on in today's world, or what they call, you know, coffee and bullshit, you know. That's not what we're trying to put down here. We're trying to carry a message of hope that you can recover, okay? From a seamlessly hopeless state of mind and body. That's what it tells us in here. Because it was hopeless. Like I shared with you. I mean, it was not to where I had thought, had contemplated wanting to kill myself, but going through the motions of doing it. Because I didn't have the hope. Didn't know where the hope was. Okay? I've been talking with my God, but my God wasn't very visible through the eyes of a intoxicated man. Okay? And I got drunk a lot, like every day. I was a truck driver, still drunk, every day, sick. But by the grace of God, there would be a 1,000 convincing demonstrations on page 25. So many want to stop, but cannot. That's where I was. I would like to have stopped drinking. Okay? Like I said, my whole family was gone. I was losing my business. Because I was a truck driver and I got a DUI, I wasn't truck driving no more. Okay? What am I going to do now? And that throttled me, man, because I had been doing that for like 30 years. You know, what am I going to do now? How am I going to survive? I have a mortgage. I have, you know, all these bills that I have to pay. That nut needs to be cracked every month. I felt hopeless. Okay, but I didn't stop drinking. I still drank, thinking, I don't know what I was thinking. I know there was times where I had shit to do, and bear with me, because I know that I've said this, told this story before, even in my regular shares. I'm coming down from college in my little pickup truck that I still have, And I'm going someplace important. Okay? I got to go there. And it's, I don't know, it's the middle of the day. It's in the middle of the day sometime. I don't know what time of day. And my truck, I'm going by Vaughn's. My truck literally drives itself right into Vaughn's. I go in there and I grab a bottle of Absolute Vodka, the big bottle. Go back to my garage. And that's the last I remember of what happened that day. Okay? I know I didn't go do what I was supposed to do. And I'm a pretty responsible guy. I like to do the things I'm supposed to do. I'm pretty good about that. But at that point, I'd lost all control. My drinking had taken complete control of my life. I couldn't not drink. I had to drink. It was impossible to get through the day without drinking. Okay? And the drugging, you know? I got on the drugs after I got my DUI, after all this stuff happened to me. Because I had been, okay, Jason, well, have a great night. Yeah, good luck to you, buddy. Pray for Jason to be safe tonight. I got on the drug. I knew I was coming into Alcoholics Anonymous. I knew I was going back into recovery. I got a DUI. I was court ordered. I know I'm going to go back into recovery. I can't drive because they took my license away. Period. So I took my battery out of my pickup truck so I wouldn't drive that. I hired somebody else to drive my semi-truck so I'd have some income. Okay? And I had money. I figured, shit, man, I got 6 months left before I can get my license back. Everything's rinsed, you know, my mortgage paid, my bills, everything. I'm thinking, I'm telling myself, I'm going to get sober about January, I think. I had it all planned out. Like 6 months, I'm going to give people a sack of cocaine. And so I did. I mean, I still got connections, you know, and then called up. I got a big old, you know, 4 ounces of cocaine. I'm just going to rip this thing next 6 months, man. And I thought I would kill myself, and I tried to, and I attempted suicide, unsuccessfully, by the grace of God, that I didn't continue with my ascent to heaven, okay, because He had another plan for me here on earth, okay, and I do believe it is right here. In this room carrying the message of Alcoholics Anonymous because He wants it to be heard. My God is working here. Okay? And He wants this message of Alcoholics Anonymous to be heard. He wants me to stay sober and carry that message. Okay? And it is in the 12 steps. Okay, it's not just coming to meetings, and I keep saying it's coffee and bullshit, because I hear a lot of coffee and bullshit around here, okay? And but I don't call them out on it. I'm just like, okay, man. How do they say? I hope your resistance dies before you do. You know, I hope your resistance to this program dies before you do. Because it's worked for me and countless, you know, that's 40 years is a long time. I don't know if I'll be alive then. That's 32 more years, man. I don't think I'll be here. I don't think I won't achieve. Well, I know my health. I'm not going to be around for 32 more years. That's a long damn time. But I didn't think I'd make it to 40 years. I'm 57 now. I didn't think I'd make it to 40 years old, you know, when I was growing up, because I was smoking and doing dope back then, driving crazy and drinking as a teenager, and living pretty wild life, you know, growing up. I didn't think I'd make it to even 40. Now here I am 57, you know. 8 years sober, here's trying to carry a message to you of how this works, what it's done for me and what it's doing for me, and how it's keeping me sober today. And there's been a time, and I've worked with quite a few men. I've had a couple sponsors since I got here just because circumstances. The one that I have had for the last 8 years, I didn't ask to be my sponsor. We were out there when the Golden Group was on Main Street. I had a sponsor that I told him I needed somebody who has more time to go through the steps with me, and he didn't. And I asked somebody else to be a sponsor, but then he had something going on with his family. So I was without a sponsor, and it scared the hell out of me. I was sitting there one day, and I'm sitting there texting, and the guy's texting me. He's in the room texting me, oh, man, I can't. I got something going on with my nephew, and I just don't have the time to sponsor right now, brother. Let's find you somebody, though. You know, what didn't turn his back on me, but I was like, oh, shit, what am I going to do? I just told this other guy, man, he's not my sponsor anymore, you know? And this new guy, so I asked Daryl as we were leaving, hey, Daryl, man, and I've known him from when I was around before, can you help me? I need to find a new sponsor. Yeah, you got my number? Call me every day, 30 days. Boom, took off. I said, dude, I don't want... Mother, oh my God. It wasn't my first choice. But 8 years later, and I'm still sober, you know? And that's how God works, okay? It wasn't my choice, okay, to find a sponsor. God had another plan. And it turns out that we're freaking perfect for each other, you know? I don't call him enough. He just had a birthday a couple days ago, and I didn't even call him on his birthday. But, you know, he doesn't call me on mine either. So, you know, it's some guys sponsor differently than that. So I've had one time I was sponsoring 7 guys in here. Okay. Right now I've got a couple of sponsees that are like what they call spinos, sponsor name only. Because they don't call, they don't do the work, you know, they're, you know, a couple of them are even sober, but they're, you know, they're not. And I've got some guys that are moved out of town that are still sober, that I've gone through the steps with. But it's where God has me right now. It is coming into the meeting space, sharing the message. If guys ask me to sponsor them, I'm available, you know. If they're willing to, like, call me for 30 days, then we're going to start on step 1. We're not starting on step 8 or 9. We're going to do this the way that my sponsor taught me to do it, okay? And the way I hear these guys with a lot of time doing it. It sounds like we have a you know, guy from the men's stag out on McCoy. I keep getting invited and I don't show up. I don't know, man. I probably I'm serious. I'm speaking convicted because I've been invited so many times by different people, and I'm like, what an asshole I am. Wanted to show up to these guys' meetings, and I love stag meetings, man. You know, my sponsor used to have one at his house every Tuesday? Yeah, it was Tuesday. Glenn was there. And I love that, you know, and we haven't done that since COVID, you know. COVID changes a lot of things. But it's, you know, can Mark do more? Sure. But Mark should be doing more, you know? So I'm encouraged to see the people that are here today in this room. Even Jason comes a lot. And everybody here that's here today, I mean, I'm so encouraged. And thank you for coming and allowing me to share my experience, strength, and hope with you. Now, I didn't get into a whole bunch of my drunk-a-log. There's some guys in here that know some of my story. Some of it's pretty dark, and I just don't really feel like sharing it tonight. I want to be sharing is the hope that I've come to know in Alcoholics Anonymous, because that's why I'm here. Okay, it's not to tell you how bad of a person I was, had become. But to show you that there's hope to become the person who God wants me to be. Okay? Am I there? Not yet. Not yet. Okay? I'm God has some convictions on me right now that I'm working on. Okay? But I'm aware of them. Okay? And I'm not sitting there drowning them with drugs or alcohol. Okay? I'm aware of where God wants my life to go. Okay? And I'll be honest with you. And I have been being honest with you the whole time. You know, I'm seeing myself back in a church someday. Okay? But I know that God does not want me to forget, like Jim, the big, if you know Jim R, big line. He don't want me to forget where I came from. Okay? And forget where I'm at today. Okay? And what's given me that hope today is Alcoholics Anonymous. Okay? It's my God has put this in place for me. When I talk about being the most important person in the room, for me today, and I still say this, man, you so glad you're here, Travis. So I'm so, man, me and Travis go back a ways here, and he's also a driver, and he has heavy equipment experience. He's been, you know, through some struggles, same struggles that I've been through, and so we're kind of kindred. You know what I mean? I understand him, and I love that man so much, and I'm so glad that he was here, and we were able to talk before the meeting, and I'm so glad you're here. Okay. I need to stay sober in order to carry a message to you. If I don't stay sober, then it's for nothing. My message is bullshit and coffee. Okay? That's all it is. If I'm not staying sober. Not because Glenn was here. We had a lady who used to run this speaker meeting. And God bless her. She's not with us anymore. Sit right there with booze in her drink and couldn't hardly stand at the podium running the meeting. It was sick. I was brand new. I was new. And it was sick. But I knew, because I know. It was obvious. You know? Okay? That's not carrying the message. Okay, I can't stand up here and had been drinking or using and carry a message to you. Okay? And I've seen, that's the example I've seen do. Mark, don't do. Okay? Don't do that. Okay? One of the ways I don't do that is I don't take that first drink. I don't take that first drink. And on page 24, we shared this with this morning. The fact is that most alcoholics, for reasons yet obscure, have lost the power of choice in drink. Our so-called willpower becomes practically non-existence. We are unable at certain times to bring into our consciousness with a sufficient force the memory of the suffering and humiliation even a week or a month ago, we are without defense against that first drink. Okay? That's absent of Alcoholics Anonymous. Because I have found here today, and I found it yesterday and many days before that, the power against that, taking that first drink. And it comes to us one day at a time. That's why we have a sign that says one day at a time. Okay, that's why we preach. Don't think about futures. Okay? Don't think about how it's going to affect me to stay sober today, next week. How is it going to affect me to stay sober just today? And how am I going to do that? Okay, how am I going to stay sober today? Well, if you have a sponsor, call them. And if you got to call them first thing in the morning, you know, but I use this on guys I sponsor too. Call me every day, 30 days. They call. Some days I purposely don't answer the phone. And they said, well, you didn't answer the phone. I said, so? Well, you said to call you. I said, call me. The exercise is you calling me, not me answering the phone. Okay, that's not the exercise. It's because that thing, real quick, I'm going to tell you a story about that. This speaker meeting used to pack, man. I guess they were good speakers back then. I don't know. This would pack. They used to set up podium speakers, and Glenn was here, and he might have been secretary. I think he was the secretary. And there was kids going nuts. And I have about 6 months sober, and I'm just not. And it's coming right on the anniversary of. My wife leaving, my dad dying, my best friend's daughter being murdered, and it's like that same weekend was that weekend, and it was around Easter, and I'm just like, man, I just need a meeting, man, I'm struggling here, I don't know, this isn't working for me, you know, and the kids are going nuts and they're spilling soda all over the chairs, and we didn't have these beautiful chairs that we have now that just wipe right off, there were chairs cloth that you poured soda on, it was a mess, and I was frustrated. And nobody was doing anything right. And I'm leaving, man. F you guys. I think I might even told Glenn that. And he said, okay, but and he was so gracious. He said, dude, I can't leave the meeting to go help you right now because I'm like, well, I'm running the meeting. And but I left. And I was thought, grabbed my phone. And utilize the numbers that I have. So I got home, backed up my truck in my driveway, and start calling guys. But all the guys in my phone were at that meeting. Son of a bitch, man. So I just keep calling. So I got everybody in my, had them in category A, and then who would the person, because they're alcoholics. And finally got a hold of old man Mark, and he said, I don't even know if he's still around or not. But he says, have you drank yet? I said, no. He said, well, I can help you then. And he was one of those old timers, you know. I can help you then. And he said, you got a big book? I said, yeah. Said, well, let's go. You open it up. It's in the house. Get your ass in the house and go get it. And I walked in the house. He said, open it up. Okay. Start reading. What? Just start reading. This is, I'm telling you, man, this is what happened. So I'm sitting and I have a little area in my house. I open it up and I just start reading. And that desire to go drink, because I was going to Vons and buying a bottle. Forget it. But that desire to drink right then was the last time I had the desire to drink. And it went away right then. And I don't remember what I read, and it didn't matter. Mark said, it didn't matter. Just open the book. Start reading. Just start reading. Don't matter where you are. I'm not going to tell you where or what. There's not anything profound. Just start reading. He took me out from the desire to drink to not drink. I want to thank everybody for showing up and letting me share this with you. What do you got?
All right, let's give Mark another round of applause.